A wonderful song, amen, until then. The following letter appeared in the London Daily Mail some time ago from a man of 40 years old. I quote, "If I am not mistaken, there was a picture exhibited a few years ago in which the scene was the consulting room of a physician who was seated at his desk. Sitting in a chair opposite was a young man who had apparently received his death sentence. That scene was reconstructed a few days ago, I being the patient sitting opposite the specialist. Indeed, the whole scene flashed through my mind as I realized the terrible import of his words. The doctor said, 'We are not infallible, any of us. But as you have demanded the truth, I will tell you that I do not think that you have more than 3 months to live. There is, of course, such a thing as God's miracle. But I do not advise that you rely upon such a remote possibility,' the doctor said. And my feelings, well, it may seem strange, but after months and months of waiting and doubt, it came almost a feeling of relief. I knew the worst. I had some 3 months' grace in which I could put my affairs in order before passing into the great unknown. Most people will think it hard for a man of 40 with plenty of work to do to be told that he has to go. But it has not struck me in this light. I look around me and see people suffering horribly from various diseases. They would probably welcome death, but my infirmity is not a painful one, nor will its end be a painful one. So surely things might be a lot worse. I shall carry on my work just as I've done, but I shall probably extract more pleasure from the little things of life than I have done in the past. I mean such things as the beauty of the country in its summer garb, the little things that I can so often do to help others. It does seem, however, that 3 months to live is a very short time." Just imagine, ladies and gentlemen, you sat across from the doctor. And we've all been in the doctor's office. And they said, "I'm sorry, it's terminal. I think you have about 3 months to live." What would you do? Here in our story, Hezekiah is told in verse 1, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." What would you do? Well, I can tell you the first thing I do, ladies and gentlemen, I get a second opinion. One doctor is not infallible. Amen? I would probably weep. Amen? You say, "Oh, you're a pastor, you're looking forward to heaven." I am, but not today. Brother Jones said that to me the other day after we were having fellowship. He said, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, just nobody wants to go today." Amen? I think I'd weep. I think I'd get a second opinion. I think I'd gather my family together. You know, there's some Bible examples of men that were shown their end, or men that knew that their time was over. Think of Moses. Brother Hauser, God told Moses to speak to the rock. And what did he do? He struck it twice with a rod. And God said, "For that disobedience, you won't get to go into the promised land. But I'll let you see it before you die." And there he was on Mount Nebo and he looked. And I think that must have been the most beautiful land he'd ever seen. And later on in Deuteronomy chapter 34, just one verse later, after he looks upon Mount Nebo, the Bible says, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died." Hezekiah here is told of his own death, that he would live 15 more years and then he would die. Paul, history tells us that as he was getting ready, as the Roman executioner, Brother Heath, was sharpening his axe, that Paul was writing the book of 2 Timothy. And he said, "I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand." How about the Lord Jesus Christ, who several times said, "The hour is come when the Son of Man shall be glorified, shall be delivered into the hands of sinners, and hallelujah, shall rise again on the third day." Examples of those that have known death was coming. What would I do? I can't preach this to you. I have to preach it to me, and hopefully you can apply it to you. What would I do if I was told I had only 3 months to live? And can we say, by the way, I've wanted to preach this message for some time now. Hadn't really just come together. But Brother Wally, with everything that's going on with you, it made me think, what if I got the news that Brother Wally got myelofibrosis? Serious. To sit in front of a doctor and hear that. What would I do? I'll tell you the first thing I do. I've got 10 points this morning. And so we should get out around 2 o'clock. We'll be fine. Just like normal for our guests. Amen. No, we'll be out right on time. I promise. About 12, 5 after 10 after 12. First thing I would do, if I was told I had 3 months to live, ladies and gentlemen, I would examine my relationship with God. I would examine the first thing, sub-point under that, I would find out, am I truly saved? You know, the Bible still says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. No born again, no heaven. That's what it says, amen. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4:12 tells us. Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can you go back in your mind and find a day or a spot, though you may not remember the exact day, but you remember a day where you were convicted of the fact that you were a sinner and that your sin had offended God and you trusted Jesus as your Savior? I'm going to tell you, if I had 3 months to live, I'd make sure of that. I wouldn't take Mama's opinion for it. I wouldn't trust what Daddy said. I'd want to know what Father said. Amen. And listen, if the Holy Ghost moves in, I promise you, you'll remember it. Amen. You see, there's something different. I remember when I got saved and I used to try, Brother Sam, as I tried and I didn't know everything about like we all do when we come to Christ. We don't know all this stuff that happens to us. But I remember I went there. I used to go back to the bars and work with my friend's band. And I remember very clearly the Holy Ghost saying, you don't belong here. By the way, and he didn't speak out loud for those of you that, you know, Ten Commandments type stuff. No, he didn't speak out loud. He speaks in your heart. Amen. I remember feeling so obviously, Brother Shannon, that, I loved being there before. I loved being part of the bar scene and being in the heavy metal band and all the rock and roll garbage that goes with it. I loved that before and after I trusted Christ. No more. Holy Spirit said, you don't belong here. You belong to me. I don't like being here. Thank God for that. Amen. If I was told I had 3 months to live, I'd examine my relationship with God. You know, the Bible still says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. You say, why is that, Pastor? You see, because I've read Matthew chapter 7. You say, what's in Matthew chapter 7? This is where, Brother Meyer, where good people appear before the Lord. And they say, hey, not all. Jesus said, not all that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. For there be many in that day that'll say, haven't we not prophesied? That means preached. Haven't we not cast out devils? Haven't we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And you know what he'll say? Depart from me. I never knew you. So you know what that means? I'd examine my relationship with God, Brother Pudel, if I was told I had 3 months to live, I would examine my relationship with God, whether I'm really saved. Subpoint under that, number two, not only am I really saved, do I have any unconfessed sin in my life? You know, the Bible says we have the privilege of prayer. Amen. I think sometimes we don't take advantage of it like we should. But listen, that we have that privilege that God gives us. But I promise you, the Bible says this. In Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Can I say this? If you have unconfessed sin in your life and you're a Christian, this is God when you pray. You say, no, 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 no. Listen to me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, it says. So you know what that means? We have to be confessing sin. I'd check it out, Brother Horsch. Make sure I didn't have any unconfessed sin that was hindering what God wanted to do in my life. I'd also make sure, I'd ask myself, am I walking daily in fellowship with Him? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Am I doing things that I ought not to be doing? If I am, then we're not walking in fellowship. He's walking the right way and I'm walking the wrong way. Amen. I'd examine my relationship with God. Number two, and all our points today start with E if you're keeping an outline. Number two, I'd not only examine my relationship with God, I would entreat God's help through prayer. I would entreat God's help through prayer. You say, why is that, Pastor? You see, I've read James chapter 5. Amen? And where it says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions, like as we are. And yet he prayed that it would not rain. And it rained not by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. Listen, I've had some incredible answers to prayer. But Brother McKinley, I've never prayed where it didn't rain for 3.5 years. That's some kind of prayer. Amen. That's some kind of prayer life. But I want to tell you this, and you listen to me and listen good. You listen to me, Brother Wally. No doctor is infallible. We serve the King of Kings. Amen. We serve the King of... Hey, I was just going through all the miracles that Jesus performed, and we just did a series on them. You know, He healed the nobleman's son, and He healed the man with the unclean spirit, and He healed Peter's mother-in-law, amen. And by the way, never mind, I won't even go there with the mother-in-law, amen. He healed the leper and a paralytic, and the impotent man that was by the pool, and the man with the withered hand, and 3 times He raised somebody from the dead. Don't tell me it's impossible. God can heal, amen. You just don't need Benny Hinn to do it. Amen. Or any other false faith healer. Charlatan. By the way, I'm gonna anyway. You listen, those people were for real. If they really meant business, we could take them down to the children's cancer ward and clear them out. If there was really a faith healer. But listen, there's a God who hears prayer! I promise you, we'd be on our knees if we heard we had 3 months to live. Why? Because we serve a God that is able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. You think of that. Maybe you've got that relative. They've got cancer. You listen to me and listen good. It is up to God. It is up to God and God alone when they depart. And you know what? We could all be departing this afternoon if that trumpet blows. Amen. Hallelujah for that. I'd entreat God's help through prayer. 25 of Jesus' 34 miracles were healing miracles. I'll never forget the time we had a sweet old deacon in our church. I was newly saved, had the big ponytail hanging off. And this deacon, he was the first one I met when I came to Mountain View Baptist Church. His name's Chuck Brewer. He's since gone to heaven. But he was so friendly and warming and welcoming. And by the way, that's the way we ought to be. Amen. When new folks come into church, you don't want to just say, boy, it looks like they've been sucking lemons around here. No, 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 no. We want to be friendly and happy. And that's the way he was. Well, he had a spot on his lung, Brother Easterling, a big spot. It was a lump. It was a mass. He'd smoked for years, worked in a machine shop. And we just had such simple faith in our church, Brother Holy, that we thought we could pray and that God could heal. And wouldn't you know it, 3 months later, after God's people had been praying, that he went back to the doctor and he had an x-ray of his lungs And you know what they couldn't find? A lump, a spot, or anything that resembled anything even close. Because we have a God that is able. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget. If I heard I had 3 months to live, I would examine my relationship with God. I would entreat God's help through prayer. Number three, I would enjoy, not endure, the little things of life. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm the kind of person, I don't do those psychology tests and all that, but I'm the kind of person, when big things go wrong, doesn't really faze me that much. But those little things. Anybody with me on that? Those little things. It's like the difference between a big dog and an ankle biter. And if you have an ankle biter, please don't come up to me afterwards and say, listen, there's a little... Big dog knows who he's biting. You ever notice that? The big dog, the little ankle biters, you know, you come up and... You know, they just still tear your fingers off. To me, that's the way little problems are. Boy, they just get at you. And I can get so annoyed with the little things of life. But I'm going to tell you this. If I knew the doctor said I had 3 months to live, I don't think the little things would bother me nearly as much. I'd enjoy some little thing. I just wrote down a few of them here. I'd enjoy taking a walk. Just taking a walk. I do that sometimes here. I'm so blessed to be your pastor. I'll sometimes take lunch, and I don't take a lunch. A lot of times I'll eat and work at the same time. But sometimes I'll just go off into the field over here and just pray. Just walk. But you know, there's a lot of people that can't walk. Miss Carol Ann, you'd love to take a walk in a rolling field, wouldn't you? Just can't do it. I think I'd appreciate that a little bit more if I had 3 months to live. I think about something, it sounds so simple, but I think I'd enjoy just eating an ice cream cone with my kids. See, if somebody told me I had 3 months to live, I'm 39 years old, my kids are 3 and 2, Luke's going to be 2. Amen? I'd want to have an ice cream cone with them. And I wouldn't even get upset if it ran down my shirt. Amen? How about a meal with friends? Boy, life's so busy, isn't it? Amen? We have friends and we know we ought to have a meal together, but we just don't. I think I'd make the time to have a meal with some friends. I think I'd enjoy yard work. Did I say that? My goodness. What's wrong with me? Amen? No, I think I would. Because I wouldn't get to see another fall or another spring. I'd enjoy raking the leaves and watching the boys jump and mess up my piles. Amen? I think I'd enjoy sunsets more. I'm a sunset person. I pay attention to sunsets. My dad was a photographer, and he always told me, young man, you know what the key to any sunset is? Clouds. And there's a spiritual application there too. Amen? Clouds, storms. That storm come through. I'd enjoy meditating, just thinking. I'd enjoy noticing God's beauty. It's all around us, ladies and gentlemen. I can't remember who told me this story. It was somebody here. I'm usually good about remembering things like that, but they were talking about this young man at a science fair. Was it you, Mrs. Howland? I don't know if it was we were talking. Was that at the science fair? I think it was. Amen. She was talking about this young man at the science fair, and he did such a great model of the planets. And how they rotated around the sun and rotated this way and that way. And they came up and they said, wow, that took some real design to do that. And the person said, no, nobody designed that. It just appeared. So, no, somebody must have put that all together. No, just appeared. No, that can't be. It can't possibly be. And the person took the time and said, you're right, it can't possibly be. Somebody designed that. How much more our great God in His design of the real universe, let alone a model. If you've ever seen a flower bloom before your eye. You've ever seen a bee come up and pollinate? Listen, God's beauty's all around us. But I want to tell you something. If I had 3 months to live, if I heard I had 3 months to live, I'd notice it a little bit more. Something else. I'd spend time with my family, not just in front of the TV. Amen. We'd spend time together. I'd enjoy, not endure, the little things of life. I'd entreat God's help in prayer. I'd examine my relationship with God. Number four, I would eat up God's Word. I would eat up God's Word. Jeremiah 15:16 said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Listen, Brother Miller, I'd want to know everything there was to know about God, Jesus, and heaven, because I'm going to meet two of them. And I'm going to live one place forever. I'd be looking up everything I could. So when I walk through those pearly gates, I said, yep, there they are, pearly gates. That's streets of gold right over there. Hey, that jasper wall's right over there. It's supposed to be right over there. It's supposed to be this long and this high and this wide. Know all about it, amen. I'd eat up God's Word. You know, I have friends that they read God's Word every 3 months. 12 chapters a day. I'm going to tell you, if I was told I had 3 months to live, I hope I'd be willing to read 12 chapters a day. I'd probably want to read more than that, Brother Sammons. Amen. I want to read and study and eat up God's Word. Somebody said, you got 3 months to live. I want to look and see what God says. What He says. By the way, we ought to be doing that every day. Amen. I'd eat up God's Word. Something else I would do. Number five. I'd enlist in God's service. I'd enlist in God's service. Every Christian is supposed to have a ministry. Every Christian. Not just the pastor. Not just the youth pastor. Not just the deacons. Not just the nursery coordinator, the Sunday school superintendent. Every Christian is supposed to have a ministry. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody said, Brother Merrill, you've got 3 months to live, I'd say, sign me up. And forgive me if that sounds a little presumptuous. I'd say, sign me up for as many things as you can. Amen? Because I want to make every day count. Jesus said when He was about to heal the man born blind, I must work the works of Him while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. But you know, you can't serve God In the temporal body sense in heaven. Yes, we're going to serve God in heaven. But listen, there's a work to be done now here on earth. You can't win any souls in heaven. Everybody's there's already saved. Listen, if I was told I had 3 months to live, I would enlist in God's service. They come to Mrs. Jones, say, Mrs. Jones, what can I do around here? Come to the pastor, say, what can I do around here? What needs to be done? I appreciate even this week, one of our dear brothers, Brother Gary Stanley, his wife's in the nursery this morning, said, Pastor, what can I do? And I had mentioned that we had some weeds growing in our parking lot just coming through the cracks, and he went out there and wire whipped them all for a couple hours this week. I appreciate that. If I had 3 months to live, I'd want to enlist in God's service. I'd eat up God's Word. I'd enjoy, not endure, the little things of life. I'd entreat God's help through prayer. I'd examine my relationship with God. Here's a big one, folks. I would erase all petty squabbles between me and whoever. Amen. That's that word we don't like. Forgive. Forgive. I heard somebody say this the other day. It's a great quote. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Amen? Listen, only you and God know if you're harboring unforgiveness towards anyone. But I promise you, you do not want to meet the Lord with unforgiveness in your heart. Because you know why? He forgave you of the whole thing. He allows you into heaven. He allows me into heaven. Though we absolutely, Brother Haydenberg, don't deserve it. There's not going to be one person in heaven, praise God for this, that says, I deserve to be here. Sorry. There's only one person that deserves to be in heaven. That's God Himself, the person of the Godhead. But He allows us through His forgiveness to go to heaven. Listen, if I had was told I had 3 months to live and there was a relative that I had aught with, I would go to that person and say, I've got 3 months to live. Let's put it away. I can't. My own relatives that I can think of right now, I was an adopted only child, which is code for spoiled brat. That's what that means. Amen. When you're an adopted only child. But I just think of the relationship I had with my dad before he passed away. We had a great relationship. He was an atheist and I was a preacher. Now you figure that out. We worked at having a great relationship. Amen. Because we loved each other. And the relationship, of course, I have with my mom, my cousins, there's not one that I could think of that I have unforgiveness. But maybe yours is different. Maybe yours is a situation. Pastor, you don't understand what I've gone through. No, I don't. But I do understand what the Bible says. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's a command. I would erase all petty squabbles. It's not worth it, folks. 3 months to live. It's not worth it carrying baggage like that. Let it go. I would encourage my family in God's goodness. Number 7. I would encourage my family in God's goodness. Deuteronomy chapter number 31 verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He is thee that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You know, if I was told that I had 3 months to live, my wife's going to need a little help. She doesn't need to see me sucking my thumb and having a pity party. She needs to have me encouraging her in the Word of God. You say, why is that? Well, if it's me, and I don't know if it is or isn't. Isn't that the amazing thing? None of us knows how many days we have. But I hope I'd encourage my wife and my kids to say, God hadn't made a mistake. God's still good. God's been good to your daddy. God's been good to your husband. God's been good to our family. God's good because that's all He can be. I'd encourage my family. I think of my sweet mom if she had to hear. Many of our parents have buried a child. How hard that is. I'd encourage my family in God's goodness. I'd erase all petty squabbles. I'd enlist in God's service. I'd eat up God's Word. I'd enjoy, not endure, the little things of life. I'd entreat God's help through prayer. I'd examine my relationship with God. Number 8. I'd evangelize the lost while I was able. You see, most sickness has a period where you're still able to do the things that you should do. But then there's always that downward progression. Folks, people all around us, I hope you know this about Red, White, and Blue Sunday. Yes, we want to honor Brother Bykirk that's coming. Yes, we want to honor veterans. We're going to have a special thing for all Blue Star and Gold Star moms. Those of you military people, you know what that is. Amen. But really, you know what our end goal is? To evangelize the lost. Because there's people all around us that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. My dear friend Phil Tharp, gone home now. It's hard to believe it was 2003, he passed away. Preacher. Great preacher. Godly man of God. He got something called Guillain-Barré syndrome. Paralyzed him for a year and a half. Literally, almost died because it even paralyzes your the capacity to breathe. And he, for all that time, was going through that, and the disease was going through his body, and he was in a bed literally for 18 months. So his arms had atrophied, his hands had atrophied; they were flat. His palate was paralyzed, so he would talk like this. He'd talk like this. And he just decided, you know what, I'm going to use every second I have to evangelize the lost. So he got out and he got one of those rascal wheelchairs, those little automatic ones. And he was hilarious. He'd run into the back of your leg. I'm sorry, Polak, he would say to me. Hey, Polak. That's just the way he was. He was crazy. He'd go out soul winning, Brother Sammons, and his wife would go to the door, and she would knock on the door and say, the person would come to the door, say, hello, my name is Joyce Tharp. My husband is crippled. He'd like to talk to you. Did you know no one ever refused to talk to him? He came out and he said, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And Jesus wants to save you. You know what? He just decided, I'm going to evangelize the lost while I can. And God took him home not long after that. Hey, listen, 3 months to live. 3 months to live. You know what? 3 months to live. It's time to stop praying about that person you should witness to and witness to them. It's time to swallow hard, push the fear away, and do what you ought to do. Amen. Number 9. I would edify my friends and church family. To edify means to build up. Especially my church family. If your pastor found out he had 3 months to live, I wouldn't want it to be tears for 3 months. I'd want to edify you. Build you up. Amen. Why? Because soon I'm going to be gone. And you're still going to be here. And you know what you'll need to be? Built up for the battle. Because there's a spiritual battle. As we found out Wednesday night, Brother Mendez, there's a spiritual battle between the flesh and the spirit every day. You know, that's what Paul did. When he wrote 2 Timothy, that last book, you read it. It's a book that builds up that young preacher, Timothy. What does he say there? I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but for everyone that looks for His appearing. He encouraged Timothy, be strong. Be strong in the faith. Hey, listen, he said, we're in a battle here. Just stand up, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I would edify my church family. And then lastly, I'd examine my relationship with God. I'd entreat God's help through prayer. I'd enjoy, not endure, the little things of life. I'd eat up God's Word. I'd enlist in God's service. I'd erase all petty squabbles. I'd encourage my family in God's goodness, evangelize the lost while I was able, edify my church family. I would exalt the Savior. I would exalt the Savior with my lips. Psalm chapter 51. It's that great penitential psalm, but verse 15 says, O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. Did you know that God gets exalted when we praise Him? I can't tell you, as and Pastor Mayer knows this, he's led singing for many years, how beautiful it was for me to step back and listen to you sing It Is Well With My Soul. I usually like to lead the song boldly. I pulled back and was just listening to you. How beautiful that was. You were praising God with your lips. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do if you had 3 months to live? To praise God with your lips. How about not only praise Him with your lips, but praise Him with my love. The Bible says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Say, well, Pastor, those people are just hard to love. But Jesus isn't hard to love. If you can love Jesus, you can love them. How about not only our lips and our love, but exalt the Savior with your life? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:2, it's a beautiful verse. It says, ye are epistles known and read of all men. And you know what that means? You are the only Bible that some people will ever read. Do you know that? You're the only Bible. You are a walking Bible. You're a walking advertisement for Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we need new billboards. Amen? You say, what do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? Exalt the Savior. Exalt Him with your life. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16 says. 3 months to live. What would you do, Pastor? I'd examine my relationship with God. I'd entreat God's help through prayer. I'd enjoy, not endure, the little things of life. I'd eat up God's Word. I'd enlist in God's service. I'd erase all petty squabbles. I'd encourage my family in God's goodness. I'd evangelize the lost while I was able. And I'd exalt the Savior with my lips and my love and my life. Now, let me get to the application and I'll be done. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Amen? James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Matthew chapter 25, verse number 13 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Many here probably have more than 3 months to live. Some here, including myself, including each one of you, may have less than 3 months to live. But you know what? Nobody here is guaranteed tomorrow. So every one of the 10 points that we looked at today, you know when we ought to do them? Today. Today. You know, I examine my relationship with the Lord today. Am I really saved? Do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Am I walking in fellowship with Him? Do I have unconfessed sin? Today is the day to do that. Not tomorrow. Not put it off and say, "Well, I'll get to that." No. Because none of us knows when we're going to take our last God-ordained breath and step out into eternity. I was driving last night. I'm closing with this. I was driving last night. I was here a good portion of the day and went out and did some visiting and then went home. And all of a sudden, my wife was outside with the barbecue and just firing up some pork chops there that we had. And she was, and all of a sudden, the trees began to... Amen. I mean, they were... It came like that. It got dark all of a sudden where we live over in town here on Washington. And it, all of a sudden, those trees started fluffing up. And I said, "Oh, no." I left the windows in my office open. Oh. And I said, "I've got to go now and get those windows closed." And so I went. And I'm driving along and... And of course it's hailing all over my... I'm like, "What am I doing? I'm going to shut 2 windows. Well, there's a reason why all of the electrical outlets are right there where the water would come in. And so I get in, the alarm's going off, the motion sensor in my office is going off because it's so windy. And I finally get in, I close the windows and I shut the alarm off and all that. And I get ready to leave and all of a sudden, tornado sirens. I'm like, "Well, this building is about the sturdiest building in all of Jackson if there's a tornado." But then I'm thinking, my wife and kids are home. So maybe I did the dumb thing, but I got in my car and I drove home. You know, the truth is, I could have been swept up and gone and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ last night. So could each one of us. You say, "Pastor, how should we live?" We should live as if Christ died this morning, rose this afternoon, and is coming back this evening. 3 months to live. Let's bow our heads.